Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
And on we go. It's all of it on WNYC. When you think of yoga, you might be picturing colorful mats, Lululemon stretchy pants, and the word namaste. But Jessamine Stanley wants to challenge what you think you know about the practice. She's an author, podcast host, wellness advocate, and yoga instructor who's made it her mission to make American yoga more inclusive to all who might feel interested in participating. Jessamine's latest book is called Yoke, My Yoga of Self-Acceptance. And in this collection of essays, she explores cultural appropriation and racism in white yoga culture, examines her own journey in the practice, and describes how yoga can help you love yourself. Jessamine Stanley, welcome to All of It.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Listeners, we want to hear from you. Are you practicing yoga? And what does it mean to you? Have you ever felt uncomfortable or unwelcome in a yoga space? We want to hear your experiences. So give us a call at 646-435-7280. You can also tweet us at All of It WNYC. So, Jessamine, I want to ask first about the title of the book, Yoke. What does that word mean in the context of yoga and larger in the context of this book?
Absolutely. So yoga really means union. It means bringing together. And yoke is my like American millennial translation of that. It's bringing together all the different pieces of yourself. What I think of as being the good, the bad, and especially the ugly parts of our identities. And yoga is really all about that. But the way that yoga is processed in the mainstream, it seems like yoga is just about exercise, like it's about fitness and changing your body. And it's really not. Ultimately, it's about going from wherever you are right now and accepting every single piece of yourself. And it doesn't mean that you will always like it. It does not mean that you will always be in a state of elation over the harder parts of your identity, but it does give you an opportunity to accept them.
When you were just answering the question, it occurred to me that one of the things when I was doing yoga on a more regular basis was that I would try to muscle through whatever the pose was. Mm. And learning to accept that I was not in competition with anybody, including myself, was an interesting lesson to learn. Did you find
Absolutely. Yes, that has been a huge part of the journey for me. I mean, I would say that a lot of times when you go to a yoga class, like I'm sure there are people listening who are like, yeah, I've been to yoga. It sucks. Like they've tried it before and it's like, it's low-key really hard. Like it brings up all of these emotions and those emotions are the actual yoga. Every posture is just an opportunity to see yourself. It's just a mirror. So that if you're practicing a posture and you're like, I have to get it right. I need to do it just like the person next to me. I find myself, I mean, this is maybe I'm projecting. Hi, that's me. I'm that person. But when that comes up for me, I'll think like, what other parts of my life do I feel this way about? Like, how often am I being hard on myself in this way? And being able to actually see yourself and be really loving and compassionate toward those most tender parts of self, that the parts of the ego that maybe we don't even actively acknowledge on a day-to-day basis, that's really what the yoga practice is. So that even when it on the surface, like it's really hard and it sucks, it's actually exactly the yoga that you need.
Now, before you made these discoveries within yourself, what was it that drew you to yoga to begin with?
Oh my goodness. Peer pressure? Legit, I had no interest in practicing yoga at all. I talked about this a little bit in my first book, Everybody Yoga, but I really was not interested in yoga because I had tried it once when I was in high school and just absolutely hated it. But when I was in graduate school, a friend of mine was obsessed with yoga in the way that all yoga people are. Like, yoga people will try to convince you to do it immediately. They'll be like, oh my God, you should come with me to yoga. You're going to love it. And so she was like that. She was like, come to yoga. And I was like, I'm not doing that. I know it's not for me. But she wore me down. She convinced me that if I just bought this Groupon and went one time, what was the worst that could happen? So I went thinking I was never going to go after that first time. And I also want to say that everything about the class seemed impossible to me. Like, every posture felt impossible. I was also one of the only Black people, certainly one of the only fat people. It was a very alienating experience. But I honestly didn't realize prior to that just how often I sell myself short. Just how often I say, I can't do that, so I won't even try. I'm not supposed to be here. And for the vast majority of that first class, I was looking at myself in the mirror and looking at everyone else in the class thinking, like, I shouldn't be here. What am I doing? The teacher knows I don't know how to do this. Everyone else knows. But I realized in that space that I could still just try. Even if I fall down and even if everyone else sees that I don't know what I'm doing, I can still just try. And that idea of just try, it like reset the clock for me. It was like, what other parts of my life can I just try in? Where else can I just go for it and not worry about what the consequences could be or what anyone else could think? And that has really been the medicine that this practice has really offered my life. And in so many ways, that is really why I continue to return to it every day, is that it offers me a way to see beyond the boundaries that I've created for myself and understand that my opportunity is not within anyone's box.
Do you think that thinking that you had in those first few classes is kind of a uniquely American reaction to the practice of yoga?
You know, I don't know that it is. I think this is a human experience. I do think that American yoga has many different specific colors to it. I think that white supremacy is a very specific strain. I think that the way that capitalism and yoga are tied together, that is very particular to American yoga. Mm-hmm. But I think that the experience of doubting yourself and not feeling confident is a pretty generally human experience. And honestly, it's what the practice is offering us an opportunity to engage with at every level. It's every breath, which really ultimately yoga is just about breathing. So as long as you're breathing, even if you don't think you're practicing yoga, if you are breathing, you are practicing. So that even in that, regardless of what's going on, you can say, yeah, okay, I can engage with these harder parts of myself and be okay with that journey in the process.
Jessamyn Stanley is our guest this hour on All of It. Her latest book is called Yoga, My Yoga of Self-Acceptance. It's a collection of essays, and we're talking about that, the practice of yoga, learning how to breathe, not beating yourself up. And we'd love to take your calls. Give us a call at 646-435-7280. For questions or to share your experiences in your practice of yoga. Let's go to Renee in Brick, New Jersey. Hi, Renee. Welcome to All of It.
Hi, Renee. Thanks for having me. Hello. So I wanted to just share an experience. I go to Basque Hot Yoga down here in Brick and Brielle on the Jersey Shore. And I had been really super intimidated and really had too many expectations on myself and how beautiful everybody else looked and how flow forward they were and everything. And so I started making every excuse in the book to not attend classes. I figured everything out. I'm really good at those excuses. And then tragically, I had a friend pass away and knew that I needed to really focus on myself and get back into the studio. So I had this really beautiful cathartic experience in one very specific class with my instructor, Tyler, who it really, his practice allowed me and therefore my practice allowed me to really understand, to kind of make peace with my friend's passing, but also know that I was there for myself. You know, earlier you were just speaking about being able to make it, you know, through a class and or through your practice and just trying and knowing that if you fall and you pick yourself back up, you're actually a yogi, which was really a beautiful experience. And so I was able to, as opposed to looking around the room and kind of keeping up with the people around me, I found myself really just challenging and keeping up with myself and really let down those expectations. And in turn, really kind of flourished in the experience and have now been able to move forward in my wellness journey, which includes both, you know, yoga and mega Pilates. So I wanted to share that experience.
Thank you so much, Renee.
I love that so much. Yes, thank you, Renee. That is so relatable. So relatable. There are so many of us that come to yoga through some sort of pain in life or something that happens. I think that a lot of times it's like, oh, you have to be really flexible, or maybe you were a gymnast or a dancer or something before. But I feel like most people come to yoga through trauma or through loss. And it's so beautiful to hear such a relatable and story. Thank you so much, Renee.
Jessamyn, in the book, you grapple a little bit with this, with a feeling of what you call imposter syndrome. Why do you think you are still feeling that insecurity after all your success?
You know, I think that I say this a little bit in the book, but I think that if you don't take out the trash, no matter how you can pretend it's not there, but if you don't take it out, it's just going to continue to smell bad and you're going to have to take it out eventually. So I think that I had been feeling imposter syndrome since, from the moment that I started sharing my yoga practice on social media. I felt like, I don't know anything about this practice. I know what I know, but there are so many people who have been practicing for much longer than I have and who know more than I do. And especially having written a book so young about the practice, like while I was so young writing a book about the practice, I felt like, you know, I have no right to be doing this. And instead of actually standing in that and accepting that truth, I just tucked it away. And ultimately, and this is in the first chapter of the book, so I'm not going to spoil it, but I did have an experience where I was forced to accept my imposter syndrome. And I think that the process of acceptance for me is, it's very much like throwing up. It's like, you know that feeling when you throw up and you feel awful when it's happening, but then when it's over, you're like, oh my God, I feel so much better. Like, I'm just so grateful. And that is how I felt. I was like, oh my God, during the period of acceptance, I'm like, this is awful. I do not want to be doing this. And then afterwards, I'm like, light as a feather. It is the light of a clear blue morning. I can see clearly now. And that, I think, is what we can kind of forget, because the actual process of it is not what I would call fun. It's not particularly Instagrammable, but it is something that leads to greater change in the long run.
Let's go to Simone in Manhattan. Simone, welcome to All of It.
Thank you. Hi, Jessamyn. I had a comment and then a question. My comment is, hi, you can hear me, right?
Yes, just turn down your radio.
It's not on. Comment is, when I was pregnant many years ago, after postpartum, my yoga was suggested, and I ran because I couldn't stand still that long. And during the pandemic, I encountered meditation after a number of months, and I've changed and I'm more open to the idea of yoga. So my question to Jessamyn is, being that orthopedists have told me I'm an itis person, I won't elaborate. I'm concerned about being in a class where poses may be suggested. I know you may say, just do what you don't feel, don't do what you don't feel comfortable with. But what if I don't know? Am I really consigned to one-on-one somewhere? I don't want to go to the expense. I want to be in a class where I won't hurt myself.
Mm-hmm. That is so relatable, Simone. And I really appreciate you putting words to that, because I think there are a lot of people who feel the exact same way, that there's this thought like, okay, I know you're good. Because obviously my thing is going to be, you know, you can just practice whatever feels good to you and leave the rest. If there's a posture that does not feel accessible or does not feel like something you should be doing, then don't do it. But you're like, girl, you tripping. You know that you need to be, like, what am I supposed to really do? And also wanting to have feel like you're having the full experience. But I honestly think that there is so much stress that comes from being in a group environment and wanting to follow along with the rest of the class and not wanting to, even in a one-on-one environment, see, I think I would, depending on the teacher, I would say even more so in a one-on-one environment, that you feel this pressure to like keep up with everyone else and do the same thing that everyone else is doing. I really recommend a home practice and finding online resources that speak to wherever you are right now. And there are so many resources. I mean, I have my own wellness community, The Underbelly, that can be accessed on all streaming devices. But I personally subscribe to Yoga Glow. There are so many different resources and also so many free resources on YouTube that specifically speak to, I don't think there's anything wrong with being an itis person. It's important to be thinking about what's going on with yourself. So I think that there are many different resources that are specifically tailored to different parts of our lives or different physical experiences. And so it's possible to find resources that you can utilize in the secure space of your own home, even if it's like you only have the room of a yoga mat's distance to do the practice, like you have your yoga mat and you have your phone set up at the end of it or tablet or it's cast on a TV or whatever the thing is. But being able to do it in your own space where you don't have to feel the pressure of being around other people and wanting to keep up with what other people are doing. Because the reality is that there's so much that your body, mind, and spirit are capable of experiencing, way more than what you may even think, especially if you have any kind of feelings about a specific bodily region. But it's hard to access that level of freedom if you're worried about the other people who are in the room. So I would really recommend finding online resources and establishing a home practice so that when you do go out into a live class, you feel way more confident and comfortable with yourself, and it's a lot easier to tune out the noise of other people or what someone else might think of the practice.
Thanks so much for the call. Jessamine Stanley is our guest. She's a wellness advocate and author of the new book, Yoke, My Yoga of Self-Acceptance. We only have a few minutes left. I could do another hour with you with, you know, standing on my head as However, we only have time for a couple of more questions. You've talked a fair amount in the book about the challenges of practicing and appreciating yoga without appropriating South Asian culture. Mm-hmm. And you've also been open as well about the ways that you feel that you've appropriated that culture in the past. What do you see as that line in yoga in particular between appreciation and appropriation?
Absolutely. You know, I have found that yoga, because of the looking within yourself, that it always ends up leading you back to your own cultural identity. It doesn't lead you to someone else's cultural identity. But because American culture is so deeply embedded in white supremacy and colonialism and colonization, and particularly that the way that yoga in South Asia has been shared with the rest of the world, that is also embroiled in British imperialism and this long legacy of colonization. All of that has led to the way that we approach yoga coming from a space of like theft, wanting to just put on the cloak of another person, wanting to say like, oh, this is how I practice, by imitating somebody else. But that's not what practicing yoga is. Practicing yoga is looking within yourself. You don't have to appropriate someone else's identity to find your own sense of heritage and self-understanding. And I do think that that's kind of where the line is. But at the same time, I think that appropriation is one of the byproducts of the experiments of America. It's something that happens not just in yoga, but in many other areas as well. And I think what's more important for me on a personal level is to accept the ways that appropriation shows up, accept the ways that colonizer identity shows up in our lives, and really being able to say out loud, like, yes, I have appropriated this thing, that thing, et cetera, and look at what that means and really be honest with myself. And I think that there is this really slim line between appropriation and appreciation. I always think of appreciation as being showing love for something and respecting something and wanting to learn more about it. Mm-hmm. And appropriation being, I'm just going to steal it. I'm not going to learn anything about it. I'm just going to steal it. So right. If you can see that within yourself, it becomes a little bit easier to see where the line is.
The book is Yoke, My Yoga of Self-Acceptance. Jessamyn Stanley, it has been such a pleasure talking with you today. Thank you so much for joining us on All of It.
Thank you for having me, Carrie. Have a good day.